Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Easter Day service, and the talk is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar at St. James. Our reading this week is taken from Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
So many good things happening there with the children. And children, well done, because you've been really using your quiet voice, and that's great. So continue. We're going to explore a little bit that passage. But I've just received from Lucy a card that she made this morning. And it says, "Happy Easter to the church, to you, all of you. We remember when Jesus died to save us from our sins after he came back to life because of love and power. Let us be with him always. Amen." From Lucy. Wonderful. Wonderful. And actually, it introduced very well that word that I want to explore this morning. And that's the expression, "I wonder." I think if I had a top 10 words, that would be in my top 10 list of words that I really love. I wonder. This verb is, it's just precious. It's a beautiful word. It's full of potential, full of possibilities, hope, and aspiration. It carries with it both a sense of curiosity, but also a sense of awe. And it's not just about asking questions like, "I wonder how this situation or this person will turn out," but it's about asking them with some kind of openness, with an imagination. Someone said, "When we wonder, we stand at the edge of what is, peering into what could be. Wonder opens the door to possibility." Now, sometimes I wonder about things that are uncertain or unclear. And at times they might be a bit confusing or messy, but there is always like a softness to wondering. When I anticipate something terrible, loss, pain, or a bad outcome, I don't use I wonder. I use something like I fear, or I dread, or I worry that. So wonder is not the language of fear, though it can coexist sometimes with confusion or surprise, but it always leans to awe, not terror. And well, in our story, that word appears twice in our reading, right at the heart of the story of the resurrection. First, the woman, they arrive at the tomb and they are left wondering at what they see, or rather, what they don't see. And then we have Peter, hearing their report, runs to the tomb, and he sees, and he too goes away wondering to himself what had happened. So let's start with the woman and their account. Our reading starts with, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, a group of women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb of Jesus. We know it's Mary of Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and some other women. And they do something very natural for that time. They bring spices and perfume to honor the body, but also to mask the smell of decay. And it's a gesture of devotion and mourning, not too dissimilar to what we do today, washing and preparing a body, dressing the person in special clothes, placing a body in a beautiful coffin, not just a container, and laying flowers. Yet what they found when they arrived at the tomb is not what they had expected. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. The body was gone. Just the linen were there. And they wondered. Now, we don't know how long they stood there wondering. We don't know what was going on in their hearts and their minds. But for a time, they stood in that, what we might call, a sacred confusion. What has just happened? Where is the body? What does this mean? The stone rolled away, the empty tombs, the body gone, the reality heavy with mystery. But then we hear that abruptly their wandering was interrupted. Two men in dazzling clothes appear, and in an instant, awe and wondering gave way to dread and terror. We read, they were gripped with fear and they bowed down to the ground, faced to the ground. But the man said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to hands of sinner, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. The passage says they remembered. They remembered his word. And so in the cool of dawn, the woman came not expecting hope, but closure. They carried spices for burial, not celebration. But the question that follows, why do you seek the living among the dead, shifted everything. And they remembered what Jesus had told them. They remembered that he had to suffer, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. But they didn't understand at the time. And I wonder whether they really understood the full implication. Yet their wonder, I think, began to take form. It was not just what happened, but what does this all mean? And so they ran to tell others, Mary, Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the others. They went into a hurry, shared the news with the closest friends of Jesus. But we hear that their words were dismissed as nonsense. And to be honest, there was a time when the idea of the resurrection, the idea that Jesus bodily came back to life, seemed like nonsense to me too. Because let's be honest, dead people stay dead. They don't come back from the grave. And that's exactly what Jesus' followers believed too. And all the people of the first century, they knew that when someone was dead, they remained dead. For me, for Peter, the changes started with wonder, a curiosity that led to look a little bit deeper, a willingness to consider the evidence. And Peter made that shift. At first, like the other disciples, he thought this was nonsense. But he got up and ran to the tomb. And bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, evidence that the body was gone, but not stolen. Because if it was stolen, they would have taken the linen. That was the expensive bit of what was in the tomb, not the body. And so it was a piece of the puzzle for him, but not yet the full picture. And so he leaves in silent awe, and we hear in the text wondering. Later, Peter will meet Jesus alive, and then he will proclaim to others that he is truly alive. And a few weeks later, we're going to celebrate Pentecost, and we're going to celebrate the truth that would spark an explosive movement, the birth of the church. And it was rooted in the testimonies of the eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And it was sustained by their willingness to suffer and even to die for what they had seen and experienced. C.S. Lewis, a great intellectual, a famous writer of the Chronicle of Narnia, wrote, "The resurrection is the central theme in every Christian sermon reported in the book of Acts." It was so central. The resurrection and its consequences were the gospel, or the good news which the Christians brought. My own sense of wonder led me to look more closely, to ask questions, to examine the evidence. And I found that this was not wishful thinking or blind faith. I found compelling evidence about the resurrection of Jesus and the power it has to change lives. First, we saw the tomb was empty. That was the starting point of the Christian hope. Some suggested, well, maybe the body was stolen. We already saw that it couldn't have been thief because they would have taken what was precious in the tomb, and yet it was left there, and even the head linen, which was the most precious, was nicely folded. What about the disciples? Maybe they stole it. Well, the problem with that is that they all proclaim he was alive, and it was a lie. At some point when suffering came or even death, they would have said, oh, we just made up the story, but they never did. What about the religious leaders? Well, when they realized that the heart of their message was the resurrection, they would have produced the body very quickly and stopped the movement. It looks like the most likely explanation is that Jesus rose from the dead. The body disappeared. The tomb was empty, and no one had a good explanation for why. What about the post-resurrection appearances? There are multiple accounts of people seeing Jesus alive, and not like an hallucination or like an illusion. No, they talked to him, they touched him, they had a meal with him. Those people were not disillusioned. They were people like you and me. And they were in groups. You know, if you have an hallucination, sometimes it just happened to you. You know, if you smoke something, that's not very good. Or you can have those kind of things. Or if you're in deep grief, you sometimes have very vivid dreams. But those happens to people in group, even to 500 of people all together. And they were long alive to share their testimonies and to write it down and to pass on their story. Whoops. Should have one at the same time. But what about the transformation of the disciples? They hid in a room. They were fearful for their lives. And yet, after they had seen Jesus alive, they were completely transformed, bold to proclaim that truth. They faced persecution, even death. If it was a lie, they would have changed their mind. And then the growth of the early church. As C.S. Lewis says, that was the heart of their message. Jesus rose from the dead. We saw him, we touched him, we ate with him. It's true. from this small, frightened group of believers became a movement that turned the world upside down. Not because they had money or power, but because they had a message that Jesus is alive. So this morning I wonder where you are on your journey. Maybe you're asking questions too. Is there more to life than this? Could any of this actually be true? And if it is, what difference would it make to my life? If that sounds like you this morning, you're not alone. We heard of Peter running towards the unknown, full of questions, searching for answers. Maybe that's where you are today. And if so, you have the same invitations to look for yourself, to explore, to ask, to seek the truth. Maybe you walked with a Christian friend or a family member. Maybe you, at the end of the service, might want to pick up one of the free eyewitnesses' accounts, Mark's Gospel. It's at the back. You can take one and read the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus by an eyewitness. Or maybe you want to take the offer that we have in this church, which is an Alpha course, 6 evenings, where you can bring your thoughts, your questions, your doubts, your curiosity. There is no pressure, no judgment, no string attached. You don't have to believe. You don't have to have it all figured out. Just come as you are. And to help you understand how it works, I have a small video. And I press another time and it will start.
Life is busy. Every day we ask questions like, what's happening today? What should I wear? How am I going to fit everything in? But then there are bigger questions like, why am I here? What's my purpose? Where am I heading? Is there more to life than this? These are some of life's big questions, but there's rarely enough time to think them through. That's why Alpha exists. Alpha is a place to explore life's big questions in a safe and open environment. It's a series of sessions where anyone can share their thoughts and opinions and ask questions without feeling judged. When you come to an Alpha, you'll notice that first, there's food. Whether it's a full meal or a light snack, this is the time to get to know each other in a casual setting. Next, you'll watch an Alpha talk. The talks are created to engage and spark conversation. They explore big issues around faith from a Christian perspective. After the talk is a time for discussion. This is the most essential part of any Alpha. It allows everyone to share their own opinions on the ideas presented in the talks. It's a time for people with different thoughts, beliefs, and experiences to ask honest questions and have open conversation. Every week, there are guests coming for the first time to an Alpha in their community. Alpha is for everyone, regardless of background or beliefs. There's no pressure, no follow-up, and it's completely free to attend. Come and explore life's big questions. Find an Alpha near you today.
Well, we have an Alpha, and there are cards at the back of the church if you're interested. And we have a poster, and also by the round table, there is a QR code. If you put that on your mobile phone, you can show your interest and just give your contact details, and we'll let you know. It's at the end of the month. We'll remind you that it starts. But again, the offer is free, and you can just explore for once, one evening, and then realize this is actually good. And there will be food. There will be pudding, free pudding, so never say no to free pudding. Yet I also wonder this morning, for all of you who have met the risen Christ, I wonder where you are on your journey today. Maybe you're asking, can there be joy again? It's not an easy time at the moment. You're walking through maybe a hard season of your life, facing illness or grief, struggling in your marriage, navigating family tension, weighed down by work, overwhelmed by school, or just wrestling with anxiety and dark thoughts. If that's you today, hear this. Jesus is alive. He reigns, he sees you, he knows you, he hears you, and he is with you right now, right where you are, always. So don't give up. And even in the dark time, keep praising. It's so important to still learn the importance of being grateful, to see the good things that are still around us. Keep praising, keep trusting him, keep praying, keep talking to him, and keep serving in whatever way you can. Even in the darkness, the light of the risen Christ has not gone out, and it will never do. Or maybe you're wondering, why do I feel so dry? Maybe you're happy today, it's happy Easter, but the week's coming and you have this dread, this feel of fear. Why do I feel so dry? You believe, but you're restless. Jesus doesn't just rise. He empowers us. He sends us. You, as Christian, have resurrection power. You are an agent of his kingdom. So continue to walk with faith, move with trust, live with expectation. Watch how he works and join him. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Stay responsive to his voice. You will bear fruit. So to wonder. To wonder is not to have all the answers, but to stay open. It's to stand at the threshold of what's next, even before you see it clearly. To trust the one who leads you. So to all of you, wherever you are on your journey, a happy Easter. May God fill your path of wandering with faith, strength, and hope. For this is the good news. Christ is risen. And we all respond, he is risen indeed. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.